mine. Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Tuesday, and it is the 4th of October in the year 2005. And I, ladies and gentlemen, last night I announced to you that Sweet Liberty will be leaving the airwaves, and I said it matter-of-factly and didn't dwell on it. I have been thinking thoughts that have been flowing through my mind today, and I want you to know that by leaving the broadcast and ending this, it is not something that I'm doing lightly or tritely. As I said last night, we really have no other choice because of the airtime bill that just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And I know that people's finances are getting more and more dear. What is it, little bit that might even be left over? And it occurred to me today that for those of you who have been supporting this broadcast for oh so long, for those of you who from time to time send your donations, your sponsored donations, it's been a tremendous burden. You are the ones that have been paying for this broadcast for 8 years, and as I've said, ultimately the what remains is mine. And I have been told by some of our supporters, our sponsors, that they were going to help me if I ever did have to go off the air. I don't know if that'll happen or not. And if it does, of course, I will be very appreciative, because it'll take me a long time to pick away this debt. I believe that we have a lot of credits coming from WWCR. We've had times when Pete Peters was put on instead of Sweet Liberty. We have had times when Brother Stair was walking all over us for a week or two. In fact, when I called to talk about that, I was told I was nuts. He didn't say I was nuts. He just said that isn't not. It is not. And what did I mean by walking all over me? And I was getting calls from all of you, so many of you, excuse me, who continued to say, you know, when I heard about it, I did not realize it had been going on for an entire week. And the one time we were having a problem and somebody, one of you called up, they said the girl that answered, there was no engineer on duty. And I've been keeping track, and then I assume that the WWCR management has been keeping track too. I don't know. But I want to let you know that this, it's been 10 years that I have been on the air, and it has become part of my life. It's been a big part of my life. You are on my minds constantly. Whenever a thought relevant to me comes into my mind, I think about you and want to share it with you. And, of course, there's so much happening today. You never know what more can we say. I mean, we can talk about details. My hope is that with the broadcast that you have heard the information, that you have a bigger picture in your mind. And if I can leave knowing that you have your eyes open, or your eyes are opening and you're awakening, then that would fill my heart, because that's my only purpose for doing this. And when I say a labor of love, maybe that isn't quite the right way to say it, but that's what it has been. So I want you to know that I have notified WWCR, and they're letting me forego the 4 weeks that the contract says that I have to give them. And so next Wednesday will be our last broadcast on Sweet Liberty. And I have no plans to stay on the Internet at this time. It has been a long 10 years, I must say that. I'm not to say that maybe sometime that I may consider coming back on the Internet, but not right now. And so, therefore, I just wanted to say that to you so you know that this is not a decision I made just flippantly or easily, and that you are all so much a part of my mind and my heart, and that you always will be. And I've gotten to know a lot of you. We've become friends. I've gotten beautiful letters, precious cards, and your constant support and prayers. Thanks. Just thank you doesn't seem like enough, and I will say thank you. And tonight we have a guest. Alan Watt is with us. I called Alan today. I was thinking that probably tomorrow night would be our last, and we could not end this broadcast without having Alan Watt back one time, at least one time with us, because regardless of the sometimes that he and I had our differences, we don't always agree on everything, none of us ever do, but there can be nothing that could diminish the information and the time and the love that Alan has given, and because it is love, it is done out of love. His mission in his heart is to enlighten and awaken as many people as possible. And every single broadcast we've done, Alan has done it on his dime from Canada. And truly, he's brought us out of the dark ages. He's brought us out of the forest so that we get a chance to see the trees a little bit. So I've invited Alan to be here with us tonight. And Alan, thanks for being here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say something off the bat, though. One of the listeners sent for my books, and I did send them off, and it came back to me. And on the post office is stamped insufficient address, and this is from somebody that lives in Buena Vista, Colorado. And I don't know if I should give the name or what, because there's no phone either, because I tried to get the exchange to check for me, and there's nobody listed there with that
name. Alan, was there a letter with it? Do you know if this individual was a shortwave listener?
I believe so. I believe it's shortwave. Yeah.
Well, if you say Buena Vista, Colorado,
yeah.
If that listener is listening, I think they'll know it's somebody who ordered a book from you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get your phone number right now and your address.
Yeah.
But that way they can call you and give you the correct address.
Yeah. And also what they stamped on it was it said needs a post office box number. So maybe that's the difference. I don't know.
Needs a post office box number.
Yeah. And I've got the whole address that was given to me. It is the right one I put on the
And this was a street address?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With an address, with an actual number?
Uh-huh.
And they sent it back and said it needs a P.O. box number?
Yeah.
Huh.
So I rather than send it off again with the same one, you know, that's just throwing money down the drain if it comes back again.
Yeah.
But anyway, my name is Alan Watt, which is W-A-T-T. The address is Site 41, Box 4. And the address is Estaire, which is E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada. And the postal code is P for Peter, 3, E for Elizabeth, 4, N for Nora, 1. And the phone number is 705-695-0416. And I do have three books for sale at $25 each, going through the history, including some of the ancient history of this system. and I go through it in volumes 1, 2, and 3, tie it in with the money system, present and past, going back thousands of years, and the agenda's all there, basically. So, and also, if anyone wants one or all of these books, it's best to send it in as a international postal order from your post office. It has to be international, and I can cash it here.
Or cash.
Or cash, yeah. If you wrap the cash in tin foil, there's no problem with that. The machines just let it go through.
People told me that doesn't matter, but you know what? I don't know if it does or not, but it's I think it's at least safer to do it that way.
It's safer. I've never had any problems with either way, really.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, maybe the register.
I want to give your address one more time. The zip code, postal code, can be pretty confusing.
Yes.
I'm going to give it one more time. It's Alan Watt at his site, SITE 41, Box 4, Esther, that's E-S as in Sally, T as in Thomas, E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Ontario, Canada. And the postal code is P as in Peter, 3, E as in Elizabeth, 4, N as in Nora, 1. So that's P3E4N1. And his phone number is 705-695-0416. And remember, if you do order the books, put his address correctly, but you have to have your full name and address on the return, or they won't deliver it. So fill it out all the way. International postal money orders or cash, but not a personal check or not a U.S. money order. Okay, Alan.
Yeah.
So we have little time left to share whatever it is that you would like to share with our listeners. I've got 3 days next week. I have some thoughts in mind that I would like to do, but tonight is yours.
Yeah, well, I think really it's for those who understand that there's nothing new in this system. They're simply upgrading their system. That's what we live in. It's their system. It's not ours. And so there's no real reason to suddenly panic. Those things which we're afraid of are generally change. And what we don't realize is that they're changing from that to which we're familiar, which we think is our way of living. But really, even that lifestyle was given to us as well. Our routines were given to us. Our training at school for certain jobs and so on. Even marriage, pensions, retirement, everything. That was all part of their old system. And we're post-industrial now, so they're upgrading it to the next step. When you realize this has been going on for thousands of years, step by step, including the wars and the reasons for the wars, and the money men behind it always, you know, then you realize nothing's really changed. The techniques they're using are the same.
Mm-hmm.
They have incredible sciences at work, because they never allow the general public to have up-to-date knowledge of what they really have at any time, you know. And they're so far ahead of what you'd even imagine as science fiction, that's how they maintain their power. I have to laugh, in a sense, when I watch the troops going into different countries. And sure enough, you'll always see a new style of rifle, or the latest model this or whatever, or the latest stealth bomber. And yet all this stuff is obsolete, and it was obsolete before the Second World War.
Like you were saying earlier today when we talked,
yeah.
They're carrying the guns and heavy, heavy bullets,
mm-hmm.
and using gunpowder that's been around forever.
Yeah, and so really... this is to make us believe, you see, that this is the latest and that's what they have. But all of that stuff is obsolete. It's us that must be kept in the dark, you see. It's one reality for the general population, another one for the CIA, and another one for the boys above them. There are always three realities on the go at the same time. It's almost like three computer programs running independently, all fed the same data, but the second level is fed more and the third level is fed even more.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how our reality is. And we all know what's coming down. The changes are not hidden.
We just don't know how they're going to pull it off, Alan.
Yes.
For example, mm-hmm. 911,
mm-hmm.
And then, they have geared us mm-hmm. to expect another, quote, terrorist attack.
Yes.
And then it's a, quote, natural disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And this past week, the Discovery Channel has been evidently playing, and they played it more than once. This is a three-hour-long thing called Super Volcano.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all about Yellowstone and how it's about ready to blow. I've been reading articles about this for quite a while, from the Internet. But they've already said that if this happens, it will disrupt the economy of the entire world. Mm-hmm. So, Katrina, first 911, then Katrina and Rita, and now they're... Now, see, they're evidently... This is a big thing to prepare people,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe they'll surprise everybody and have a terrorist attack again.
Yes. Uh-huh.
See?
Yeah.
That's basically what people... And isn't it telling that they can get us into that mode where we're actually expecting? Because
well,
they've said it.
About. Yeah.
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 They've said it. Well, it's going to happen.
Yeah,
we don't know.
Being trained.
Yeah,
being
we don't trained. Know when or where, but we do know it is going to. It's only a matter of time,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be much worse than 911.
That's right. Yeah. And so they're the shepherds, and again we're the sheep. And for the last century or so, we've all been led into the same pasture every day in the grace, and they drive us back. But now we're getting driven into another pasture, you see. And so we're being trained to go into the next pasture.
And we say the prayers.
Oh, yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
He leadeth me into green pastures. He restore my cup runneth. Your rod and your staff comforts me. And you know what? Alan, I was thinking of this a couple of days ago. What in the world is the rod, the staff that you said is for, the sheep because they're so stupid,
mm-hmm.
that if they get into a corner, they don't have sense enough to back out.
Yeah.
So they use the crook there to pull them out.
Yeah.
What is the rod for? Is it to whack them with?
That's right. That's what law is based on. And if you ask anyone who's into the law system, the legal system, and government too, all laws are put out there with intimidation. That's how people obey. It's mainly through intimidation, and for the few who won't be intimidated, they will actually use force.
Yeah, so we say a prayer and say, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Yeah, well, that's for the abused victim who loves their abuser. Yeah.
Yes, and I'm glad that I really thank you for bringing that into my mind, because we do have new listeners, and sometimes it's something, certain things bear repeating.
Mm-hmm.
This is not to in any way invalidate or denigrate Jesus, but the what they gave us, that he is the shepherd, that he, they say that he, they are, I'm having trouble spitting this out, obviously. He is quoted as talking about his lost sheep of Israel and all that stuff. And I remember a long time ago you said, I don't think he ever said that. Because
no.
The sheep is the stupidest animal around.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have called people sheep.
Yeah, and it's only, sheep are domesticated animals. They're not free animals, they're domesticated.
Yes, they are.
They're specially bred to be domesticated.
Yeah, and sheared.
And that's their function, is to supply their master with wool and meat. That's it. There's no other purpose for them.
And then taking it back further. And, of course, this is all stuff that you've already shared with us. But these are things that I would have never thought about, not even knowing it or not noticing it. The pictures of the ancient
the pharaohs
with the staff in their hand, the crook.
Yeah, the crossed arms with it looks like a little candy cane crook, because it's a symbolic crook. It's not the long one, but that's what it represents. You know the kind you hang on Christmas trees?
Oh, yes. Oh, I've done that a lot.
That's sort of... So he holds the short one in one hand, and his arms are crossed, because he's a Lumen Man, and the crossed arms mean the Lumen Man. And he is the sun, in fact. And then the other one, he has the club, basically. And sure, that's the whole idea. You intimidate with threat or force, and if that doesn't work, you actually use force. And nothing has changed in the system since that time.
So we see that the religions have so indoctrinated us that we actually thank our keepers for the abuse that we get.
Yeah.
Innocent. I mean, we're not praying to them, of course, but I remember, Alan, you were talking about the word repent. Am I taking us on a track that you wanted to say something else?
No, carry on. I've got a train just passing by.
Oh, okay. Well, you
hear, yeah.
I remember you talking at one time about the word repent and pent up and how they used to pen them. And would you share that with our listeners who didn't hear that explanation?
Could you speak up again?
Oh, yeah. When you were you this was a long time ago. When you were talking about the word repent. Is the train gone?
It's just gone now.
Okay.
The word was what?
The word was repent.
Oh, yeah.
And about pent up and how they pent them up. Would you share that with our listeners that didn't...
Well, the ancients loved hunting. And the modern ones still do. A lot of these big boys that we see behind the scenes that appear, they love to go off to different countries and hunt. And... In ancient times, even the Greek times, they'd often go along the coastline in boats, and they would get little peninsulas, for instance, and they'd come in like a five-pointed star and work their way inwards, and they'd use nets to catch the people and net them, basically.
The people?
Those people became slaves, but that was a form of sport. And, of course, the pent is from the five, number five, the pentangle. And that's where it really comes from, you know.
Or pen.
So when we're repenting, we're actually, in a sense, acquiescing to become slaves once more. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Willing slaves. But it's nothing new. What amazed me, even looking at Sumer, and some of the major cities in Sumer, were obviously bureaucratic because they had no fields around them, so all the foodstuffs and so on came into them. But the frescoes on the walls were fascinating because they showed you these young people, obviously very healthy and happy, and obviously the nobility too, with hawks. You know, have the hawks on the wrist?
Yeah.
And then you'd also see them on horseback going after different animals and deer and so on.
Is a hawk the same thing as a falcon?
Yeah, it's a type of hawk.
Okay.
For sport. And they have falconers even in the Middle Ages. The Normans brought that into England with them. And up until the 1800s, 1900s, that was still a popular sport with the nobility. So you find the same M.O.s all down through history with the nobility that was there 5,000 B.C. And of course, the Egyptian nobility was exactly the same. And if you look into the merchant banker class who lived in the Aegean Islands, and the historians give them the name the Minoans, they also had exactly the same frescoes painted on their walls with the hunting scenes and the sports and the falcons and so on. So then we see it, as I say, coming into Europe in the Middle Ages with this Norman class who took over and still basically run the world yet, you know. They were a knighted nobility, and if you notice, even all your top United States famous people like Kissinger and so on, Schwarzkopf, in fact even the mayor of New York after 9/11, they all went over to the Queen, and the Queen knighted them all.
Yeah.
So this is very important to them, to be knighted in England by the Queen, because we're dealing here with a religion that predates Christianity and most other religions, and it goes back to at least 5,000 BC that we've dug up so far, and no doubt there's much, much more of it to go on beyond that. So if we go into the histories of other countries like India, they go back into millions of years, and they claim that this type of thing has been going on for millions of years. And I wouldn't be surprised in the least, because the techniques of controlling the minds of whole countries are so perfect, and they always have been so perfect.
Yes.
That this was not a new science that we're picking up as it went along. They knew it from at least Sumer onwards, how to take over countries, how to introduce this thing called money, how to get people to marry young, to be a working class who would then produce their goods, because these bankers were also the merchant class, and they owned the ships and the trading routes. So they owned the whole system. It was a materialistic system based on money. And once you have money, you can get a standing army. Without money, you can't keep a standing army together. Once you have it, you send it off into the rural areas, and you conquer the peoples. And that is our history of the world. And right now, in fact, the U.S. is finishing off the last part or last few countries who haven't joined the World Bank and this system they call democracy, which has various definitions. If you look at it, you know, it's actually the definition of democracy is pretty well the same as the definition of communism by the Royal Institute of International Affairs own words, going back to the 1920s. And even earlier, when Cecil Rhodes was on the go, and then Lord Milner took over from Cecil Rhodes to create a world empire, he defined democracy for the Royal Institute of International Affairs, the CFR is the American branch of it, of course, and he said the definition of democracy is a world where the individual is subject to the majority. In other words, individual free will is a negative thing, and it's unhealthy to the whole.
But they refer to themselves as the majority, don't they?
Well, they themselves don't even classify themselves within that. They see themselves as a separate race almost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We are just the people.
Superhuman race. We have to take a break here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to request, I talked to one of our listeners today, and she said that the beginning of the broadcast last night was very clear, and then in her area it just totally disintegrated until she couldn't hear a word. And I would just request a couple of calls giving us a reception report, if you would. Folks, we'll be back right after this.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
All right, folks, we're back with Alan Watt. In case I said it too late when the music was coming up, I was requesting maybe a couple of calls, not a whole lot, but I was told that last night, at the beginning of the broadcast, it was very clear. And then it disintegrated to where she couldn't hear, actually make out a word, well, a word here and there. And she went over to 3.210. She said it was loud and clear. So thank you. Somebody's calling now. Whoops. Okay. Anyway, there we go. I don't know what's going on there, but the call-in number is 570-537-3025. Just a couple of calls to give us a report on our reception tonight, if you would. Alan?
Yes.
Before we get started back again, two things here. It occurs to me, folks, that for those of you who have had bad reception in the past and have missed so many broadcasts, I can't think of a better and more economical way to get copies of the
book.
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, God, I can't hear. I have to go over the line.
All right, so he's having phone problems. You can get a month's worth of these broadcasts from First Amendment Radio on DVD on the discs for $15. That's, you know, it would be 12 broadcasts or 13 or 14, however many there are in a month for $15. And for those of you who don't have internet access, I want to give you their number once again in case you would like to get copies of the broadcast. It is 559-781-3773. And, in fact, I was thinking of, I've got tapes here. I've got audio tapes, cassette tapes, but I would love, and I'm thinking of purchasing myself some back copies of the broadcast. It's very reasonable and very easy to listen to, and clear as a bell, of course. Okay, Alan. I missed our spiritual message this evening, and I had it laying right in front of me here, and I would like to do that before we continue. This is from Matthew 5. Beginning at verse 14, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid, and neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Thanks, Alan.
Yeah. I'd like to add to that little definition of democracy that Milner put out for this group actually that's running the world. when they defined it, and they said every individual, because they'll have certain rights, will also have a duty to serve the state. To serve the state.
Yep.
And that's very, very important, because it puts the state, this entity, in another category apart from the people, and therefore the people do not create the state. The state basically become your rulers, and you serve them.
And
that's the definition that the current CFR branch of the Royal Institute of International Affairs uses today. And it's identical to the communist.
And so when they say the state, it takes people's minds off people.
It does.
The state is an institution of some type, and forgetting that there is a hidden hand that controls those who are in the state doing the dirty work.
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I can hear you a little bit. Yeah, I was going to say, you sound, this is Storm, you sound loud and clear tonight, very, very clear.
Thank you. Storm, how about last night?
You know, as a matter of fact, I just came in about 10 minutes ago. Now, as far as last night, I didn't get last night.
Okay, thanks, Storm.
I will tell you this, it's something strange, is that, I'll say this quickly, early this morning I was listening to Radio Netherlands, and if you heard the beginning of the broadcast when they were talking about Turkey from the Netherlands, they came in very crystal clear for the first minute. Then approximately about 7:02 in the morning, Eastern Time, that would be 11:02 UTC, okay, there was like a big fade-in of distortion and interference, not jamming, but like an interference, almost like you would think it was the atmosphere. And then all of a sudden, about a half hour later, around 11:30 or 11:27 UTC, that would be 7:27 UTC.
All right, hurry up, Storm.
They started coming in again, and it's the same type of similar thing that occasionally I hear on your show.
Okay.
But not tonight, and
thank you, Storm.
Not that much last week.
Thank you.
I'm not sure whether that was the government or what. Maybe they want to keep up something with Turkey. I don't know what that's about.
Thanks, Storm. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Storm. I was curious about last night, Alan.
Yeah, and it's clear up here, too.
Oh, that's good. That's real good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to hear that.
But no, they're using, of course, their technologies, their jamming technologies and so on, because once they have the next big panic, FEMA will be using that across the country. We saw it used when they went into Yugoslavia and Bosnia. They flew aircraft, it was on the television, they flew special aircraft across the country that jammed every radio station and television station, and they could also, from the aircraft, play their own propaganda programs directly into everyone's television.
In other words, override and interfere and intrude.
Uh-huh.
Well, I understand that during Vietnam, the technology existed also.
Yeah.
Because my friend Mel worked in communications,
mm-hmm.
and he said they could clear a path. They could wipe out communications in any direction they wanted so that they could send their own signal. That was Vietnam.
Mm-hmm. So especially it's so easy to interfere with shortwave because shortwave depends on the ionosphere. It bounces signals off the ionosphere.
Just
so they can actually really play havoc with shortwave.
Yes. Hi, you're on the air. Hello? You're on the air. Gosh, okay. Nobody there. All right, folks, we'll forego the phone calls because there's something we'll just forego the phone calls and thank you. I was just curious. Maybe I can talk to somebody who was listening last night, somebody not in Indiana, and maybe let me know. I was just curious, and I did not mean to interrupt this broadcast so many times. Today, when we were talking, Alan,
mm-hmm.
As I mentioned to you, my thoughts are so much and so often on people, because on this broadcast we've talked about how important it is if you can, get the heck out of the doggone cities, etc. And I do know that there are people now who are in cities who really want to leave cities, and they don't have the means to do it. And, of course, the economy is getting worse by the hour, not by the day. And so, therefore, my heart goes out to them, and mostly that they aren't living in fear and they aren't living in some type of a box, if you would, feeling, quote, doomed or hopeless because they can't get out of the city. Because, you know, a hell, rural cleansing is going on right now under our noses. I don't know how much time we have left in the country. I wondered about rural cleansing and how are they going to move people out of the country.
Yeah.
Well, our energy costs are just going up just horrendously.
Yeah.
I had to go on budget for my heating gas bill last year. Mm-hmm. And over the course of the year, it averaged out to $191.
Yeah.
Now, you've got a good 5 or 6 months there where that bill is around $40. And hello, thank you, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello? Yeah, this is something I wanted to ask Alan Watt, and I was going to hang up.
Okay, make it very short, Storm.
Okay, yes. You asked about how people are going to, like, leave the country or whatever. I understand there was, like, some kind of detention centers around the country. What I was thinking is that if they wanted to get people in these detention centers to pull off this global
they're doing
order,
it.
What they could do is have a nuclear blast.
Okay, okay, you, Storm, excuse me. I'm sorry, Alan.
Uh-huh.
He wants to ask a question, but he just talks about what he thinks. Actually, they're doing it right now. All of those, quote, evacuees,
yeah.
They're still living in those detention centers.
And they've done programs here in Canada. They've shown on television a lot of, now it could be to train a doll, of course, which everything generally is, but they've interviewed lots of them who say they'll never go back there. And, of course, that was one of the objectives of taking them out. We also have no idea how many have been removed out of there, and I certainly do not believe the figures they tell us for the death rate. I think it was far higher.
Oh, of course.
And they're really playing it down.
Alan, how would they even know?
Oh, they would know. Oh, they'd know.
Okay.
In a place like that, there were so many people, especially in the poor areas, who were on welfare. They have records for everything, not just
sure.
Locally. They have backup systems, probably all the way to the feds. They know everyone, their numbers and so on, and who claims, who doesn't, and who's not claiming now. And believe you me, when FEMA moves people out, they don't just ask your first name. They get everything from you.
Yeah.
So they know how many they've moved out and how many have died.
One of our listeners called me last night.
Mm-hmm.
And had run into a gal from New Orleans.
Yeah.
And said that her home was totally safe. There was a tiny bit, evidently, of wind damage, maybe some shingles or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she was moved out of her house at gunpoint.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And she doesn't know when she's going to be able to go back. They evidently claimed that they were going to let people start coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Rita came along and now she still can't go back. She's staying with friends in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, even Bush himself, in one of his first speeches, said it'll be a minimum of 3 years before it's habitable again. And, of course, I'm sure, just like the fire of London, Christopher Wren had the plans for the new international London drawn up prior to 1666. They lost three sixes there. And
wow.
Luckily enough, along came the fire and he could put his plans into motion.
Oh,
so I'm sure that the same plans drawn up for the new city of New
sure.
Orleans, a much smaller city, because the United Nations has said most of it will remain as wetlands. And that's been their spiel for the last few years before it all happened. A good part of that city would be called wetlands. The new city, I'm sure, will be a small one for the refinery guys, for the new refineries which the taxpayers will build for Halliburton.
And yes.
Yeah.
And for the elite only.
Yeah, and a few, you know, gambling casinos and things
but,
like that.
Yeah, but I mean for anybody who's living there,
mm-hmm.
I believe at least at this point that's their plan.
Yeah.
And there have been articles, there was a Wall Street Journal article, I think it was, old line families plan the rebuilding
mm-hmm.
of New Orleans, and they've said it's not going to be black, and there's not going to be those suppressed people. Either it's going to be white or we're out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And they are already laying out their plans. Donald Trump.
I'm sure all this was, designed before.
Well, think about it.
Hurricane hit. Yeah.
This humongous building that Donald Trump is supposed to be building,
mm-hmm.
that couldn't have happened. They couldn't probably engineer and design a building like that in 4 weeks.
No, even the surveyors couldn't go over it.
Exactly. And then the mayor there, what the heck's his name? He's saying that real estate is real hot right now
mm-hmm.
in New Orleans. You're on the air.
Yeah. What about if the people have guns, Owen?
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, but no, that's...
Well, they've taken the guns away from the people anyway.
Yeah, they have been doing that down there. They showed that on the television here.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, they were going door to door. But that's standard.
Did you know there was a judge that put a hiatus or a stop,
mm-hmm.
Well, at least ordered a stop on the confiscation of guns there? I've only got one article on it. It was a news article, and I don't know if they listened to that judge or not.
Uh-huh.
There's not been a lot of news coming out of New Orleans lately.
No, once FEMA took over, they did admit that all subsequent news coming out of there would be controlled by FEMA. So it's almost impossible to get any truth out at all, at least the whole truth. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the whole thing with FEMA. It is all about containment and control. That's what it was set up to do. So this is the first big exercise in containing and removing en masse Americans, but it won't be the last one. It's interesting, too, that the hurricane came in, and there's a huge bridge going across the river there at Pont Chartrain, which is the French for the Bridge of Catherine, you know. And then when you look where the hurricane came in, Texas, you had, just south of Beaumont, you had Sue Rita, you know, or Sarita.
Oh.
And I thought, yeah, I guess we can
Catherine,
all tell by the
name. Katrina and Rita.
Mm-hmm.
Please repeat that, Alan, right from the beginning.
Yeah, the first hurricane, Catherine.
Right, Katrina.
They called it Katarina, same
right.
thing. It's just it came in, and where it passed over was Pont Chartrain, which in French means the Bridge of Catherine. They love bridges too, of course.
Uh-huh.
That's the Bridge of Catherine. And then Rita came in just north of Sarita.
Sarita?
Sarita, yeah.
My.
South of Beaumont, Texas. So you knew it was when you hit Texas.
My.
And so the next big one, I think, is to be called Stanley. And what? Scour the map to see what state that is in, because I'm sure that's how they're doing it.
Wow.
They love to put it right in their faces.
Oh, they do, don't they?
I'll give you a good example. The Canada, because Canada is a member of the Commonwealth, the British Commonwealth, it still has this strange system of having a parliament and a governor general appointed by the Queen. And they just appointed a new governor general, and they gave her a coat of arms. The coat of arms, by the way, goes all the way back to Charlemagne. It was copied after that, in fact.
What
the 27th governor general. They swore her in on the 27th of September. The number of days right through the year to the 27th of September was 270. And when they were swearing her in, the ceremony took 11 minutes, and they showed the clock outside the Parliament building, exactly at 11 minutes past 11. Well, 27, 2 and 7 is 9, and then you have the 11 after, it's 9:11. They just keep showing this in their face all the time, you know.
Wow.
You couldn't make this stuff up.
No.
You know. But they made a new coat of arms for her, and the lineage on the coat of arms depicts the line of Charlemagne.
What is Charlemagne?
It's the dynasties that supposedly came up through and eventually were appointed by the Catholic Church to force Christianity on the rest of Europe.
Okay.
So he was the first officially Catholic appointed military leader and king. And of course the Knights Templars are heavily involved with Charlemagne and all this kind of stuff. But he forced Christianity on behalf of Rome on the countries of Germany and France and a few other ones at the point of the sword. And in behind him came the money boys. In fact, Charlemagne, who was officially crowned by the Pope as the first Vatican-sponsored king, Charlemagne set up his first bank in what later was called Switzerland.
Oh, wow.
and it's called the Bank of Zion. And the river next to it is still called the River Zion. So the Priory de Zion, which is one of the High Templar groups, and still based in France, connected with Switzerland, and they move money around the world, that's their job, and other stuff, goes back to Charlemagne. But it was interesting to see them making up a coat of arms with the two bears and the five-pointed starfish.
Oh my.
Of Charlemagne for this new governor general, you know, plus all the dynastic numbers they add into it.
Huh.
Yeah, they do this all the time, and there's a whole language involved every day, and the people, if you don't understand it, don't even realize it's going on. But that's how open they are.
What do you know about this new pope?
They haven't said too much about him. He was in the German army during World War II. There's different versions of what he did in the German army. What you'll find with most modern popes for sure. Is that they have to have the right lineage to get in there. That's the bottom line.
I've received quite a few emails on this pope,
mm-hmm.
and I've put them in a file to read and haven't read them.
Yeah.
But if I'm not mistaken, I read that he was a Jew and became a Catholic.
It's possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very possible. I think it was in the 7th or 8th century, the first Caesar was appointed Jew. It was Leo the Red.
Oh yeah, the Caesar.
So this is not, and even Roncalli in the 1950s, Pope Roncalli, he was.
Hello.
Yeah, but if he's a Jew, how did he get the?
Go ahead, Alan.
Yeah, so it's not. I mean, the Catholic Church is open to anybody that goes through the rituals, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to be honest, you see, all the religions were created by the same group long ago. I don't care if it's Muslim or Christianity or Judaism, that's your trinity, all connected, you see. They all have a common base somewhere, a common connections, but they've all been used for the same purpose.
Yes.
Which is to exploit the people, make them subservient, bring in a materialistic system based on money, and conquering other countries with armies, up to the present phase where they'll eventually blend them all in back into an updated version so the three will become one. That's the real mystic meaning of the Trinity in High Freemasonry.
You mean the three religions will become one?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it is, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's becoming that.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the key of making things change by using the laws of nature. You must create opposites, and so opposing forces fight each other to create the third way, which is the outcome or the synthesis. And without at least one opposing force no change will happen.
That, yes.
So if you have three opposing forces all apparently fighting each other, but the boys at the top are all connected, it's the herd once again who are being trained into a new way of living. And that's your trinity, you know. If you want to move sheep, you use two sheepdogs, especially. One dog running at the pack will make them move one way. However, if you don't want them to go in that exactly that direction, you have another dog just across the way. But when they both move diagonally towards those sheep, the sheep go in a straight line to where you want them to go, which is the sheep pen. So once again, you have a trinity formation.
Repent.
You repent, yeah.
I remember saying...
Every group who's fought each other down through the centuries has been used for a completely different outcome than the one they envisaged at the
time. That they envisioned.
Yeah. So we're dealing here with a very complex chess game where the people don't even know that they're on the chessboard. And they can't see the hands that are moving them. But it really is a chess game, a very complex one. And
okay, you know what you were telling me today, and I wasn't on the internet at all today, but you were telling me that they have been holding meetings in Texas.
Yeah.
And it's a UN, and it has to do with water and septic systems.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, they're going...
Alan.
Yeah?
We just got our one-minute warning.
Oh, okay.
All right. Would you like to come back tomorrow night?
Sure, yeah.
All right, well, you know... Okay, we'll do that. I've written this down.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to pick that up tomorrow night. And folks, we will be back with you tomorrow. Thank you for being here, and Alan, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, my wish for you is peace and love, and I don't mean that in any way to be trite. I mean it with all of my heart. We'll see you tomorrow night. Good night. Good night, Alan.
Roll away the dog.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations. The opinions...
Notice, FirstAmendmentRadio.com is looking for new talent. Do you have the gift of gab?